blessing. You know, I read about a Muslim man in Africa who became a Christian. And all of his friends asked him, why in the world would you do such a thing? And he said, well, it's kind of like this. Imagine that you're going down the road and you suddenly come to a fork in the road. You didn't know which way to go. And as you approach that fork in the road, there were two men. One of them is dead and the other one is alive. Which one are you going to ask to show you the way? Today is Easter Sunday. And as Christians, we've gathered to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive and he's ready to show us the way. Amen. And I pray you've come here to celebrate that today. But even as we celebrate that, you know, our hearts are kind of heavy because we live in a world that is torn by so much hate, so much evil, so much war and needless killing, so much incredible natural disasters and needless accidents. But the truth is this, listen very carefully. We don't ever know when it's our time to go. Y'all feeling me? We don't never know when it's time to go. So you better be ready. You better be ready. Now, none of us could possibly understand how the Lord's disciples felt as they watched their best friend and their teacher being ruthlessly nailed to that cross. They witnessed his pain as he cried out, "I thirst." They heard him call out to his father, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" They listened as finally Jesus bowed his head and he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And then they heard him declare with his final breath, "It is finished." And then they watched as his body was taken down from the cross and buried. Buried. And all their hopes and all the dreams of the disciples were buried with him. Friday, all day Saturday, they mourned until finally on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the Bible says that some women walked along the path that led to the tomb where Jesus was laid. And they were wondering as they walked, who's going to roll that stone away for us? And so they arrive at the tomb and they found that the stone was already rolled away. And there was an angel there. And that angel told those women, "Y'all looking in the wrong place. You're looking for Jesus among the dead." And in the words of any true southerner, they said to them, "He ain't dead, he's alive. He is risen just as he said he would." He is risen. Those three words are what we've come here to celebrate this morning. He is risen. Because, friend, when all the evidence is accumulated, we are convinced, we are absolutely persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. And can I tell you, that changes everything. This morning, I'm going to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's on page 10:22 in the Bibles in front of you if you'd like to follow along. But here's what I want to point out even before I read it. I want to point out, I want you to check out all the people that actually saw Jesus, listen to me, after he was raised from the grave. After he was raised from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, Paul is writing to believers. And here's what he had to say. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. That's important today. If you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, by Simon Peter, and then by the 12. After that, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. They've gone and passed on. After that, he was seen by James and then by all the apostles. And then last of all, Paul says, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now before we get all high and mighty on Paul, I wonder how you and I have persecuted the church of God in our own way. Amen. Let me keep going. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Friends, what if we had every person that I just mentioned to come up here and share for just 15 minutes each about what they saw in Jesus after he was raised? If we listen to the testimony of all those I just mentioned who saw Jesus with their own two eyes after he was raised, we'd be here for the rest of the day and the rest of the night. We'd be here Monday and Monday night. Be here all day Tuesday and Tuesday night, Wednesday and Wednesday night, Thursday and Thursday night. And then roughly early in the morning on Friday, they'd be finishing up. It would take 128 straight hours of testimony for each one to share just for 15 minutes about what they witnessed in the Lord Jesus Christ after he was raised from the grave. And then, after telling us about all these eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus, Paul turns his attention to me and you. And going back to 1 Corinthians and 15 verse 51, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. I tell you a hidden truth. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, for the dead will be raised incorruptible. And listen carefully, friend. We shall be changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Easter changes everything. Everything is changed because of what happened that resurrection Sunday morning. And so with those words ringing in our ears, let you and I consider the implications that the Lord's resurrection has on our lives today. Let's begin by just thinking about how Jesus died. Because Easter changes how we view Christ's death. Before his resurrection, the cross that Jesus was hung on was known only as a symbol of horrific death. A rough, splintery cross soaked in human blood. So terrible was that form of execution that the Roman Empire would not allow it to happen to their own citizens. Crucifixion was only for the worst criminals, the worst enemies of the empire. But today, because of the resurrection, many people, many here I'm sure, wear a cross as a symbol of the hope of eternal life and as a symbol of God's love for us and the forgiveness he offers. And what about the tomb that Jesus was laid in? Well, before the resurrection, the grave looked like the final chapter. It's over. Before the resurrection, the grave looked like the closing of that great door, the last curtain call, the end of everything. But because of the resurrection, you and I can rejoice today that on the other side of death is where life really begins. On the other side of death, friend, is where life will never end. That makes me wonder, since truly life begins after our lives on earth are finished, why do we put so much stake worrying about material things? Why do we fret and worry over things? As I contemplated this, I thought about when Janet and I first got married. And we were in town and we were joking to each other. And we were kind of laughing because we noticed that anytime the kids wanted money, they would go to their grandfather to get it. Because they knew where they wasn't going to get it. Amen. Well, one day, a storm passed through Florence. And we were driving along and there was this incredible double rainbow. It was gorgeous, y'all. But it was kind of ironic that one end of the rainbow ended at the mall and the other end of the rainbow ended at Papa's house. You can't go to the mall unless you go to Papa's house first, right? Dale Evans once said, "I've spent most of my life searching for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Until finally I found it at the foot of the cross." That's where life is, friend, at the foot of the cross. All of our lives we work and we work and we struggle to accumulate stuff that we think is very important. But when we're facing death and what happens after death, all of these things all of a sudden become kind of unimportant. These things all of a sudden become rather insignificant. I mean, when I'm dying, what difference does it make what kind of car I drive? When I'm dying, what difference does it make what kind of house I live in? When I'm dying, what difference does it make what kind of clothes I wear? When we're talking about eternity, What difference does things make? You know the answer to that question. See, you see, on one side of the resurrection, everything that we see is temporary. Everything that you see is temporary. But on the other side of the resurrection, there are things we cannot see. Things which are eternal and last forever. Easter changes everything. And not only how we view Christ's death. Because Easter also changes time. Before the resurrection, time was a very limited thing. The Bible talks about life being a vapor. About life just being a mist that comes and goes like a breath of air. Talks about life like being, you know, we exhale and you don't know if you're going to be able to inhale again. It can happen that quick. Life is brief. And life is short indeed. And can I tell you, young people, the older you get, the quicker it passes. Sometimes I'm looking in the mirror when I'm shaving. Saying, man, you look old. Maybe you ought to go to back to bed and try again tomorrow. And then I hear that little voice in my ear saying, sorry, buddy. What you see, that's as good as it's going to get. Listen, down here. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? I mean, time is just kind of slipping by. On one side of the resurrection, time is very brief. But on the other side, there's Jesus and all of eternity where time never stops. That changes everything. The whole purpose, the whole meaning, the whole goal of our lives here on earth should change, should radically change. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, Easter changes our view of Christ's death. Easter changes time as we know it. But Easter also changes life as we know it. Have y'all been listening to all the messages of the world lately? Have you been hearing the voices of hopelessness and despair that seem so prevalent today? I mean, the American economy seems to be going down the toilet. Meanwhile, I got to pay $50 to fill up my car. Everyone is reminded on a daily basis of the men and women who are giving their lives in the armed forces scattered all over the globe. Seeking to preserve our freedom. The conflict between Israel and, listen to me, so-called Palestine goes on and on and on. There are diseases that we still don't have cures for. We can't fathom the problems that are going on behind closed doors. Somebody say amen. Drug addiction continues to rise. Children are still being trafficked. Americans, especially veterans, are hungry and sleeping on the streets. Meanwhile, we're supporting millions of illegal immigrants with borrowed money. Go figure that one. If you watch and you listen, man, you can lose hope really quick. And if the only hope that you have is the hope that the world offers, listen to me, you're in trouble. Because the world's message is only gloom, doom, and utter despair. In contrast, Jesus said, I have come to bring you some life. I have come to bring you life abundant, to show you how to live, to give you hope, to give you joy, to give you peace, to give you love. Oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. I've come to give you a purpose and a reason for living. Even if your life is racked with pain, even, friend, if there's loneliness and sorrow in your life, even if all hope seems lost, you'll be able to go on because you'll find strength in Jesus. You'll find strength in the power of His resurrection. Easter changes everything. It changes the cross and the tomb. It changes time, and it changes life. But perhaps most importantly, Easter changes death. See, before the resurrection, death was the end. End stop. Period. Before the resurrection, death was the final curtain call. Before the resurrection, all you could do is mourn as those who have no hope. But after the resurrection, when somebody dies, oh yeah, we're sad. We're sad that we're going to be separated from a loved one, no doubt. But we mourn differently. We mourn as a people who have great hope because Jesus is alive. He's living. He's alive. And the promise of the Bible is that because Jesus is alive, we too can live forever with the Father. Our sins will be forgiven. The blood will cover our sins. And the resurrection will provide us with the promise of eternal life. That changes the whole concept of death. I mean, death is not the end. But I want you to imagine for a moment something. Imagine that I say, okay, we're all here today, and you know what I want to do? I want to start a new religion. It's all a sham, don't get me wrong, but I want you to keep it a secret because maybe it'll sweep the world and we might become famous. And so we make up a story and we put it on TikTok. We put it on Facebook, and sure enough, man, that old story starts taking off. And you start thinking, this might work. I'll play along. But then some of us start getting thrown in the slammer because of what we're posting about this fake religion. Then all of a sudden, one of our leaders gets executed, not me. And then all of a sudden, it's open season on every one of us. Y'all, that's what happened to the early church that Jesus founded. You might say, well, it was fun while it lasted, but I ain't dying for it. But that's not how the early church responded. They gave up their lives. They faced lions in the Colosseum. They were burned alive because they refused to denounce Jesus Christ. Many were tortured. Countless were crucified, refusing to deny their story. And you say, why? Why would they do such a thing? The reason why is because they had experienced the change that only Easter can make. It changed their lives. Suddenly, eternal life in heaven was more important than temporary life down here. Suddenly, the cross wasn't just an instrument of torture. It was a symbol of forgiveness. The tomb no longer symbolized the end. Rather, it was a gateway to a brand new beginning. Their time on earth could no longer compare with the time they'd spend with God for all eternity. And the hopelessness and despair of this life simply could not compare to the joy and the thrill of life in heaven with our Heavenly Father. You see, the Lord's resurrection made a difference in their life. It can make a difference in your life. Because Easter changes everything. Easter changed everything. Before, things were so important. But now things are pretty insignificant. Before, time was so limited. But now there's all of eternity. Before, life was filled with despair. But now there's purpose and meaning. Before, death was the end. But now, death is just the beginning. Friends, today, I want to offer us all an opportunity to respond to the message you just heard. You may say, I already did that, Bill. Saved, baptized right here. But anytime this word is proclaimed, anytime this word is preached, it causes change to those who will let it. And so, in reality, there are really only two responses that you can make to what you've heard today. First, you can do nothing. Say, Bill, I'm going to think about what you taught about today. Bill, maybe another day. I got Easter dinner coming up with my family. I don't want to put everybody up. Bill, I'm just not so sure of all this. Is tomorrow going to make you more sure? If you do nothing, if you choose that response, it will change nothing in your life. It won't change anything in your life now, and it certainly won't change anything in your life for eternity. You can continue on living the same life you've been living, doing it the same way you've been doing it, and getting the same results you've been getting. You won't experience ultimate fulfillment in this life or the next. You'll do nothing of eternal value in your life, and frankly, you'll make no difference in this world whatsoever. However, there is another way to respond. You can just take a step of faith. Just one step of faith, trusting in Jesus as your only means of an eternal life in heaven. And believing in the resurrection of Christ as your only means of defeating death. Something that every one of us will face one day. And I'll tell you, friend, if you'll take that step of faith, it will change your life. It will change your life here. It'll change your life there. And you can fully expect a fulfilling relationship with God Almighty. And you can be assured that heaven is your home for all eternity. But the choice, it's yours. And so I want to pray for you, praying that you'll make the right choice. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for providing us the means by which our sin can be forgiven and providing the means through the resurrection of Christ by which our death can be defeated. Lord, it was only through Jesus that it was possible. Lord, you looked at the whole situation long before this universe began. And you said there will only be one way. And so you sent the only begotten Son of God to die on a cross and be raised from a grave to provide those whom you love so incredibly with an eternal relationship and fellowship that you desire with people. Father, help us today to make the right choice. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand.